Hey, I'm Rich. Welcome to the first episode of 1 Million Bytes. 1 Million Bytes is a podcast about all things programming, technology, and more. Today, we're going to be talking about the revival of the Pebble smartwatch. I'll talk a little bit about the history of the Pebble smartwatch, as well as the recent events that have triggered its revival, and I'll talk about some of the things that I've been hacking on. Pebble was started as a Kickstarter back in 2012, and is one of the most successful Kickstarter projects ever. They shipped devices in January 2013. After that, they released several generations, including steel versions, which are my personal favorites. Pebble's founder, Eric Mijakovsky, has a great blog post on some of the startup economics at play that led to the original company's demise. I'd recommend giving it a read. I'll link to it in the description of this episode. In 2016, it was announced that Pebble would be shutting down and Fitbit would be acquiring its intellectual property in software. Then, Fitbit was later acquired by Google. What's happened recently that's triggered Pebble's revival? In January, Google announced they would be open sourcing Pebble OS, and Eric announced that he would be creating new hardware to run the software. I've been following the progress online. They've been working to integrate a new Bluetooth stack. They're also targeting a new chipset for the hardware, which will be the NRF52840. I'm pretty excited to see where all of this goes. Now, for the things that I've been hacking on recently. I wanted to develop my existing watch faces, make some updates, and originally I built them on Cloud Pebble, which no longer exists, although you can technically run it in Docker containers. It exhibits some of the same problems that I'll talk about in a moment. So the SDK that we have for Pebble today is built on Python 2. It was developed over 10 years ago. The command line tools, the SDK, were all pre-Python 2 to 3 migration. So that means there's a lot of issues with byte handling, the way the dictionary APIs change between versions, as well as some of the imports. There's also a bunch of modules that were integrated, such as the JavaScript module used in the PebbleKit JS portion, which I'll talk about later, that don't work today. So it's not out of the box. You can't just quite run it unless you set up your environment with an old version of Python. Thus far, the community has been using a bunch of preserved VMs and some other tools to run the existing SDK, but I wanted to make it work on my Mac without having to use any of that stuff. To start off, this meant that I had to port the entire command line tool to Python 3, which actually wasn't too bad. Most of the code stays exactly the same. There was just some byte handling and some dictionary APIs, as well as a couple of things that I changed, as I noted before. The major additions were with the SDK management and also some self-update stuff to make it easier for us to push updates. The SDK, the legal status of that is kind of a gray area, is what I gather. It's not open source, and unless someone open sources it from Google, I think that patches to make it run are about the best that we'll be able to distribute. So that's what we have for this. There's a set of patches which will upgrade the syntax from Python 2 to 3 without making any major changes or anything like that. So there was no reverse engineering and like creation of a new SDK or anything like that, which would be really cool to do if that was open source and we could modernize the build tool chains and make that a bit more easy to work on and iterate for the future. But for now, this is what we've got. The other pieces of this, we're getting the emulator to run, which, again, all of this was written 10 years ago, so the emulator is compiled for Intel Macs, not ARM, which is what Apple Silicon uses. I currently run an M2 MacBook, so I would like to run this on my current machine, and that didn't quite work out of the box. If you install Rosetta, you can get it to start up, but it kind of crashes immediately because it's looking for some dynamic libraries that are not available. Should you try and install them like the instructions suggest, or the original instructions suggest, it'll still crash, and it'll complain that you can't use the ARM build of the dynamic library with the Intel build of the QEMU emulator. What we did, or what I did, was I broke out my old 2012 Mac, installed it on there, which actually it ran. It started up at least. We'll talk about actually getting a watch face to install on there in a minute. But we were able to start up the emulator and run the Pebble OS on that. I packaged up all the dynamic libraries it needed, and there's some magic that happens within the Pebble tool, now called Rebel tool. Using the macOS DYLD fallback library path environment variable, it'll point it to those dynamic libraries, and it'll start all under Rosetta, so you can run it on your Mac without any virtual machines or anything like that other than Rosetta. It would be nice, and I know there are some people that are currently working on getting this stuff to compile natively, so maybe that would be something we could do for the future, recompile the build toolchain. One thing to note, and this is actually an area that I'm planning on looking at, Homebrew actually has packages for all of the compilers needed. There's obviously no QEMU, which is what the Pebble emulator is running, but that's all custom code, so that, again, we have to recompile that. But there's potential to make the Rebel tool run with all Homebrew packages except for the QEMU, which would be pretty cool. Now we're going to talk a little bit about getting the Python PebbleKit JS to run, which was actually the biggest headache of this whole project. The Python 2.3 migration and patching the SDK, that actually wasn't that bad. Even getting the emulator to run wasn't that bad. This was actually a bit more code than I thought it was going to be to get this to run. When I was testing the emulator, I disabled all the JavaScript stuff in PebbleKit.js just to get it to run. So it would install and then it kind of wouldn't do anything with JavaScript. Digging into it further, the main problem here is that the Python V8 project, originally was supported by Google, is now supported by Cloudflare. And as you probably guessed, all the APIs are different, or at least the ones that we care about are different or either not supported. The simplest solution I could come up with this that would hopefully allow us to change JavaScript engine in the future was I built this thing that kind of resembles a syscall interface in an operating system. There's a table of functions, which there is a function exposed in JavaScript to call them, and then there's some almost polyfills that run to implement the JavaScript side of the API. So when you call console.log, it's a function that calls that syscall interface and does whatever we want to do. It also allows for a little bit of traceability, which is pretty cool. Because there's a layer in between JavaScript, we're not calling the functions directly. We can actually log the arguments, the functions that are being called out of the JavaScript, should we need to debug what's happening if there's some sort of crash or something. I also updated the local storage persistence to just use SQLite, since that's built into Python. I figured that would be easier than trying to use some other third-party library. The only other stuff that I disabled was the timeline, which there's some stuff with OAuth that needs to be dealt with there in order to get that to actually work, from what I gather based on looking at the source code. And it's really not a core requirement of developing watch faces, so I didn't really focus on that too much. The final piece of getting this to work was in libpebble, which is the library that implements a lot of the protocols for communicating with emulators and the apps and the firmware on the watches themselves. Compared to the effort to get PyPKJS running, this was a dream, though I think I patched one line of code. All of the code that I've mentioned so far on this podcast is available on GitHub. I have repos for Rebel Tool, PyPKJS, or the PebbleKit.js written in Python, and then libpebble. I have forks of all of those with my updates, as well as the SDK patches. So you can download this. I'll put the link in the podcast description so you can actually download the tool and run it on your local computer. Compatibility-wise, I managed to get this to run on my M1 Mac, my M2 Mac, my Intel Mac, and then also my Arch Linux box. I'm hearing from the community that there's some issues with Fedora. I'll probably have to install Fedora in a virtual machine or something to test that out, but it seems like there's some incompatibilities there actually within STPy V8, so it crashes. Actually, it looks like a file permission thing. I don't quite sure what's going on there, but I'll dig into that and I'll post some updates on the GitHub repo. With all of that, I was able to update my watch faces, which was kind of the whole goal of this entire endeavor. I pushed some updates to my Dimension watch face, which I think was my most popular one. Thankfully, that code didn't get lost in the Cloud Pebble sunset. I had that code locally that I was able to resurrect it and actually build it out of the box with no changes, which was awesome. I did add some extra options, updated the configuration page a bit, but all in all, it still functions as it did almost 10 years ago, way back when this watch face was featured on Pebble's Twitter, so I'm glad that I was able to keep it around. I also built a new watch face as part of the Rebel hackathon, which is just really a simple developer dual time zone watch face that also had the Unix time on it. I've been dealing with time zones at work lately, and I figured that would be helpful. So I built that as part of the hackathon, which you can also access that from the Pebble App Store, and I will put that in the description as well. The one piece that I did also update was I was testing out the debugger, and it turns out the GDB provided from the original SDK is linked to the old Python 2 framework. As I mentioned before, Homebrew actually has builds of all of the cross compilers for this. So I actually installed that directly from Homebrew, tweaked the command line tool to use it, and GDB worked out of the box. And like I mentioned before, I'm hoping that we can get the entire toolchain to work using the Homebrew version. I think it's definitely possible. It just may require some patches to the SDK or to the command line tool to set the include paths correctly. Because I tried this once and it did not work. It was looking for include files elsewhere on my disk, which obviously caused the build to fail. So that'll be something I look into in the future, but that would be awesome to not have to use Rosetta at all. I know there's also somebody working on the emulator and updating that to work and compile natively. So I'm hoping that we can use an entirely native toolchain at some point in the near future. So all this is very bleeding edge, and it may not work on your system depending on the versions of Python you have. I've got to work out a compatibility matrix or something to tell you whether it will or won't work. But for the most part, if you have Python 3.13 and you're running something modern, chances are, if it's either an x86 Linux machine or an M1 or Intel Mac, it should work. But again, the core requirement right now is the Python version. I don't have compatibility nailed down for all of the old versions of Python 3. It was tested mainly on Python 3.13. So if you don't have that, I would recommend updating to that or installing that to use this. Although we'll probably expand support in the future, although it doesn't really make sense to support ancient Python 3 versions that are end of life. So we'll have to nail down exactly what that compatibility matrix looks like. I guess a closing note, I will link to the Rebel Discord, which has a bunch of channels for things from app dev to OS dev and different alternative hardware. And there's some buy and sell groups in there as well. If you're looking for Pebble hardware, that could be a good place to look. So I'll link to that as well. I hang out in there. So if you do encounter issues, you can, if you at me in the app dev channel, my name on there is Rich. I will probably see it and I'll respond. And sometimes it's an easy fix. I know there's issues with some systems where packages don't quite get installed correctly and it doesn't work out of the box. Like I said, this is a bleeding edge tool. I'm aiming to make it work as widely as possible, but it works fresh out of the box if you install it on a Mac. As far as I can tell, you can run the instructions and it will just work unless you've customized your Python or done something crazy. So that's all for now. Thank you for listening and stay tuned for the next episode.